Good morning, church. Buenos días. Well, we are in this sermon series on generosity, and today we're going to reflect on one of the parables that Jesus taught his people. And again, as I mentioned last Sunday, Jesus taught around 38 parables. Out of those, 16, 18 parables are all about possessions and money. So let's reflect on this. Luke 12, 16 to 17, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yield an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what should I do? I have no place to store my crops. Verse 18, then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid out for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. It sounds a lot like the American dream, right? I want to highlight here how many times this guy says my, okay? And then God says to this guy, but God said to him, what he said? Okay, I didn't insult you. It's Jesus. It's Jesus the one saying this, okay? This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. So the first thing here is God is not against us being wealthy or to prosper. I mean, he's all about loving us. He wants us to prosper. The idea here is how can we shift our mindset and have the right perspective about money and finances? And the questions that will help us to reflect on that is, do I acknowledge that everything I have belongs to God? Am I fully aware that I'm not the owner of my possessions, but a steward of what God has entrusted to us? And that reflection will help us to live with a sense of responsibility and gratitude. Do I take time daily to notice specific things for which I am thankful? In our meetings, we call these glory sightings. We are always encouraging everyone to pay attention to how God is moving in your life, how God is blessing us. That way, we are not only focusing on the bad stuff and seeing the enemy everywhere. God really wants us to pay attention that he's always active in our life. When was the last time I was overwhelmed with God's gift of forgiveness and eternal life? So reflect on the cross. Reflect on how God loves us, that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. That's a great, powerful image to shift our hearts to be like God. He's a giver. Therefore, we, our children, are called to be givers too. And am I giving in a way that reflects my gratitude? So when I give and I see what I'm giving, am I being grateful? And that will help us to fill our hearts with appreciation for what God has done for us. And the idea of understanding this, little by little, your heart will shift from this mindset of my, to be more open and be motivated by God. So this guy, he was moving in a whole different mindset. All for him, everything was about comfort and having more, better, bigger is better. For Jesus says, hey, you know, you need to shift this to a store in heaven, a store treasures in heaven. Just shift your heart not only to the natural things, but also to the supernatural, to the eternal things, things that are eternal and permanent, and that will help you in our spiritual walk. Build treasures in heaven, not only treasures here on earth. And then what he says, you know, whoever stores up things for themselves but it's not reached toward God. That's the whole idea, is that, you know, you have to pay attention to saving money and have your money and your bank accounts and my savings and my investing. All of that is good. But the question is, are you storing up in heaven? The question is, how does your heavenly portfolio look like, right? People are paying attention on, you know, how the stocks market is and all of that. Okay, how are you spending time and investing in internal treasures? So those reflections will help us to embrace gratitude and transform this approach so that we can do better and invest not only in our families, but also in people around us and the community. So when you learn a little bit about the American dream, I don't know how many of you remember this, but I shared with you before. When I was planning to come to America, I was thinking, okay, this is my American dream, and I have a little piece of paper that I wrote. I want a big house, kind of like the guy in the parable. I want a big house, get married, two children, a new car, a dog, and then go around the world on vacation. Check. That was my plan. Check, check, check. Done. And now I have three teenager daughters. And the American dream now is a nightmare sometimes. You know, you have all this madness and all this craziness, and I have a mortgage that I have to pay. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So when you dream, you don't see the mortgage. You only see the house. Right? You only see the big house. You don't see the mortgage. Okay? But here is what is happening, and I said to people all the time, the American dream is still alive, right? Now, I say to people, especially young people, you know, young people who are watching and reading books and watching YouTube and all of that, and it's so easy, based on the media, to be ungrateful to this country and just focusing on the bad stuff. But I'm telling you, there is no better place around the earth to be than in America. And I said to people all the time, I don't see people fleeing America. I'm sorry, I don't see them fleeing America. You know, that's a fact. So you see that, and I said to people, yes, there is so many problems in America that we need to address. There is sinful structures, there is brokenness, there is all of that. But at the same time, when we think about all of this, we need to reflect that there is also great things happening. Amen? And we need to celebrate that. And as we do that, God will bless us. And the fact is simple. People are saying, let us do what? Let us be. So people are trying to come to America for a reason. So that I say to people all the time, well, you know, there is no better place on earth to be black than in America. There is no better place on earth to be a woman than in America. There's no better place to be a youth than in America. There's no better place to be a children than in America. That's a fact. Try to be a child or a woman or a black person in other countries and see how it goes. Okay? So my question today for me is, it's not that this is the perfect country, but it's better. It's better, and we have to celebrate that. And yes, we, you know, let's fight injustice. Let's confront evil. Let's do all of that, but also let's be grateful. When you get up in the morning, look around that and breathe and say thank you, because you are living here. You're not in other countries where people are persecuted, where you are dying, you don't have medicine, you don't have food. It's crazy. And then if something happens to you, if you believe that the United States court is unjust, go to other countries and see what happens. Okay? So I'm just saying this to you because maybe you don't know, but I'm coming from the other side. And I'm telling you, it's better here. So let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate that and be grateful. That's the first step. And yes, and keep pressing forward. So when you see about the American dream, it's basic, this basic idea that people, you know, they believe that anyone, regardless of where they were born or what class they were born into, can attain their own version of success in a society in which upward mobility is possible for everyone. So a way you measure the quality of the country is not by the elite, the way the elite live. The way you measure prosperity and wealth in a country is how normal people, regular people live. Does that make sense? Because in every country, you have an elite who are living off the charts. even in Cuba. Okay? So it's not about the elite. It's about normal people. Okay? How the normal people, how the people, regular people, people look just like you and me, in many cases, who are just having basic things to live. You can provide for your family, you can plan a vacation, you can eat, you have breakfast, lunch, and dinner without praying about it. Okay? You have basic clothes, you can buy clothes, you can rejoice, it's Christmas, there is Thanksgiving, you have your turkey. You know? So these things that seems basic are very powerful. When you go to other places and you don't have it, then you learn to be grateful really fast. And my hope is that you do, that you really, really understand and embrace this reality and celebrate that as you go. So when you don't, and then you are ungrateful, this is what happened to us. Then we shift, and now God, Jehovah Jireh, is not the center of our attention, and we trust him and release all this anxiety, knowing that he will provide for us, that God loves us. We are his children, and he's going to support us. He provides, and he sustains everything he creates. And because of that, I'm going to rest. I'm going to rest on that fact. If I don't, then anxiety will kick in. And then, you know, it's all about money and stuff. I want to have more. I want to have more. I want to have more. And the more you get, the more in trouble you get also. And the encouragement is that you really breathe and do not let all this stuff, you know, control your life so that you can be grateful and rest in God. What is the evidence that you are under the grip of this prosperity and this hunger for stuff? Well, financial slavery, toxic tension, divorce, anger, sickness, stress, all of that are signs. And one of the higher, in terms of statistics, one of the higher ranks for divorce is finances. People they don't have agreement. They get angry about it. They start fighting about it because of money, and then they end up on divorce. That's one of the first reasons for divorce here in America and in many other places. And then you are angry, you are sick, you cannot even get up, and you don't know how. And you go to the doctor, and they check on you, and they find what? Nothing. Everything is right here. Okay? So we have to really go to the secret place and say, God, free me. You know, I lose this grip on me. I want to rest in you. Enough is enough. Here is what the Bible says in Psalm 37:21. Let's read it together. And that's the challenge. Let's give generously. And if you own money, pay it back. Do you own money? Pay it back. That's what God says. If you don't pay back, you are wicked. That means that the God whole mindset and whole financial system is do not own money to people. Free yourself from that. Do your best. Do your, you know, work on it. Be intentional on freeing yourself from owning money, from borrowing money from people. Now, there are, this country is created in a way that sometimes and most of the time, there are key things that you still have to buy. So you have to buy a house, of course. But buy a house that you can pay. You have to buy a car, yes, of course. But buy a car that you can pay. Does that make sense? And then buy a car, and when you buy the car, plan ahead, like for 5 years. I'm still driving my little Toyota 205. You see me driving that? Can I go and buy a better car than a new? Of course. But then I have a payment to make. So every time I go to the dealer, see the car, the smell of the new car. Right? And then with that comes a bill. That's not what I don't want. So that's not in your picture. In our pictures, it's only the comfort, the smell, and all of that, not the bills. Okay? So that's why I say, you know what? I'm going to stay in my little car until it breaks. When it breaks, then I go and buy another car for another 10 years or 15 years. That's my plan. That's my financial plan right there. But I want to encourage people that in reality, you really have to connect the dots. Don't let the stuff control you. You control the stuff. So when you don't, Like the guy, the rich guy on the parable of Jesus in Luke 12, you are your own primary financial consultant. You don't consult God for anything, but when you really believe that you are a steward, you are a caretaker, God now is the owner of everything. You consult. Even though the money is yours, you will pray before you use your money. And then you say, okay, do I need to buy this house? God, lead me with this. Do I need to give to this person? Do I need to buy this, buy that? Then you pray about it, right? You pray about it, and God will give you ideas, and God will take you, give you a burden. And most of the time, if you go, for example, if you go to the dealer and you're about to buy the car, these guys are experts on getting you signed something, okay? So they go into your ear and boom, 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 and then you're about to find, okay? Here what's happened. If you say, okay, let me give this 24 hours and pray about it. You go 90% of the time, you don't come back. Right? So that's the idea. That's the only thing I'm asking you is before you take any action, especially a commitment of 3 or 4 or 5 years, you don't even know if you're going to be here in 3 years. So, and we make these commitments for 5, 7, 60 months and all of that, and they put it in months so you don't feel it, okay? It's not 60 months. No, it's 5 years, my friend. Okay, so let's talk about this. So the whole idea is to just to be conscious, pray, and God will lead you and God will help you. At the end of the day, this is what the Bible says. The earth belongs to whom? The Lord's. Everything in it, the world, and all who live in it, which means you and I belong to God. We belong to God, my family, my spouse, my children, everybody, everyone. That's the mindset. And because of that, when I do serve the Lord, I understand and acknowledge that fact. I own nothing, and everything will go back to Him at some point. And then, when you have that mindset, the consequences, another consequence of Luke 12 is that now you think of giving as an obligation rather than a privilege. And when you see everything is my, then you say, why do I need to give you anything? This is my money. I earn it. This is my money, my stocks, my portfolio, my inheritance, my money. And then it's an obligation. I don't have the obligation to give you. I'm not, we know that you are not, you have no obligation to give anyone anything. But when you have a steward mindset and you know that God owns everything, you say, well, it's a privilege to collaborate with God in making the world a better place. For me, my family, and everybody else. When God created the world, He created the world and says, now you run it. And my question is, how many of you believe that God is almighty, all-powerful? Okay? So do you think in Genesis 1, can He say, cities, and cities will be there? Technology will be there. He didn't do that. He left it unfinished. The infrastructure was unfinished so that we collaborate with God and work with Him to make the world a better place. So He said, I'm going to give you the seeds, the resources, the gold, silver, wood, whatever you need for you now to use my DNA as a creator to create. Now you finish. Let's collaborate together. Let's make the world a better place. Every time you take an action, you are contributing to with the Creator to make the world a better place. That's the whole idea behind this. And my hope is that you see it as a privilege, not as an obligation. Here is where 2 Corinthians says when Paul was asking the churches to give to support the mission of God. The people in Corinth, they said, and Paul is testifying, they urgently pledge with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. It's a privilege. Every time we challenge you with this financial campaign or just giving every month and you give your tithes and your offerings and your alms, it's a privilege, not an obligation. It's a privilege. You are giving to the church or to people what God already gave you, a part of what God already gave you. So understand this. We are not owners. Understand ownership. God owns everything. God owns everything. And the distinction here is, again, God is not against us being wealthy or to prosper. You know, the concept of wealth, the abundance of resources used to enhance well-being and uplift us others. So if you are blessed, you can bless others. If you are broke, you cannot bless anyone. Now you're worried about yourself and about your family. So what God actually wants is to bless us so that we can give to others. The challenge that we have is that once, based on 1 John 2:16, when our natural needs are covered, then 1 John 2:16, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life take over, and now greed comes in. And that's what it says. What is greed? An insatiable desire for more. More for personal gain. And the question here is, once you know what you need, the question is, how much is enough? If you can answer that question for your own family, sit down for this year and ask yourself, for your family, how much is enough? Write that number, because that is important. If you don't have that number, guess what? You're going to keep chasing after more and more and more and more, and you don't stop. You don't rest. Well, how much is enough? And when you find that number, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You are awesome. I'm going to rest. I'm going to continue, but I'm going to know. I know that you have my family. Thank you for providing. And then be free. You know what? Close your eyes. It's a God, free me from the lust of the eyes. Again, God, free me from the lust of the eyes. That's a powerful prayer during Christmas. Because when you go into the mall, you're going to use this. Okay? When you go on TV, you're going to watch this. God, free me from the lust of the eyes. God, free me from the lust of the flesh. God, free me from the pride of life. Now you drive around, you go places, and they try to sell you anything, and you're fine. Okay? Because the lust of the eyes, that's what, you know, that's the greed there. And the important here is God wants us to be generous, not greedy. We're going to train and teach more about that next Sunday, about greed. Here it says, Proverbs 22:7, it says, the rich rule over whom? The poor. And the borrower is what? A slave to the lender. And when I say that we, in the 21st century, we have become high-paid slaves, I'm saying that in that context. That when you and I, when we keep borrowing money and borrowing money, we become what? Slave, according to what, that's what God says. So God wants us to be free from that, pay as fast as you can your debts, so you are free. Because here is the mindset. The mindset is that when you get in debt, you think sins are yours, but you will realize really fast that it's not yours when you cannot pay anymore. Then they come and get your stuff. They come and get your house. They come and get the things that you own. And now you realize, oh, I was not the owner. Okay. My hope is that you realize that even now. There is one principle in real estate called gentrification. And what that means is that people come and the elite come and raise the price of the land. They start building expensive businesses in the area to the point that the people who are living there, most of them poor, cannot pay anymore for anything in the area. So they have to sell their houses because now they pay a lot of taxes on the land and things like that. And then they start moving and moving and moving. And when all the people, the poor people are out, then they build a new mall and a new place and more stores and more stuff. And boom, next, next, next. Next. So we realize that in most cases, we don't own anything. That's why it's so important that you don't sleep on it. And if you are able, pay off all your debts. And then you will be free. And the mindset and the sign is this. Sometimes you see people that when they own nothing, we don't own nothing. And most of the time, you know where your identity is, because sometimes you don't own anything, and you see people, I don't own anything. So they go like this. And then suddenly, they are blessed, and God gave him or her the finances to buy a better house, a bigger house, and a better car. And now suddenly, after he or she bought the car and the house, now suddenly he was walking like this, now he walked like this. You know? This is my house, my neighborhood, and this is my car, right? My new car. Okay? So now you walk like you own the place. And the only thing you have is a debt. A big bill for your car and a big bill for your house. And my question is, if you are free, guess what? You are going to enjoy your life. Doesn't matter who is around. You're not so worried on showing anything. You want peace over ostentation. You have to choose. You either have peace or you show people that you have. So you have to make that decision. My hope is that you know that God loves you and your value is in that realization that you are a child of the living God. You are a child of the King and he loves you. And when you know that, you are free and wherever you go. I've been in Korea, I've been in Vietnam, I've been in Asia, I've been in Africa, I've been everywhere. And wherever I go, do you think I go like, oh, I'm black, I'm sorry, hey, hi, you know? No. Wherever I go, I behave like you see me here. Wherever I go, I act like this. You know what? Because God created me. He loved me. If you don't like it, talk to him. This is it. That freedom. Wherever you go. I've been in so many places and I go and I behave the same way. I'm not apologetic about it. I know who created me. I know that I'm going in mission. I don't have to do that. So when I go there, I'm the way you see me. And connect with people and laugh with people wherever I go. Because it's not about the color of my skin or my stature or whatever. It's about knowing who sent me. The God of heaven is my father. I lost my father when I was 15. I learned that really fast, that my real father is in heaven. I'm not an orphan. And when you understand that, then you can be free, and free indeed. So that's my hope, that we are generous and we start investing in others, you know, like husbands and wife and our realization to realize that our children living and investing in our children. Because here it is. Many of you, maybe you don't have the same problem that I have, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. But here's what the enemy does. If he cannot get you through stuff, he will get you through people. So what it means is that you are free from this desire to buy stuff, and the enemy comes and attacks your children's finances. And now your children are coming to you to ask for money, and then you get in debt trying to help your children. Does that make sense? That's the way it works. So you have to really, really, really pray for this. Pray for your children. It says that those who are righteous will leave an inheritance for their children and their children's children. But the wicked live debt. Wow. So we have to invest. We have to train our children to be financially independent, to be like you are. I came to this country with a backpack, and now I have new tennis shoes. Okay? So can you train your children to be independent, to be financially independent, and don't give them so much that they learn to live above their means because they cannot pay it. And in America, this is the biggest challenge that we have as parents. Parents have been here longer, working for 30, 40 years, and now they are at a higher level financially, higher level in income. But what they do is, what we do sometimes is we give to the children so much that they start living above their means. And now they want to keep that. And they keep getting. Now they are in debt, and now you are in debt. Does that make sense? So my hope is that you say, wait, Jose. Is this a need or a want? No, it's a want. Well, work for it. If it's a need, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to help you. You are my son. You are my daughter. I love you. But if it is a want, you work for it. Easy. That's the way God works. That's the way you know you are a good steward, when you focus on your needs first, supply the needs. There is no obligation to help people to satisfy wants.
Your responsibility as a father, my responsibility as a father, as a mother, is to help our children to satisfy needs. If it's your child, don't leave him hanging. He cannot pay the rent this month. Okay, I pay the rent for you. But now you and I are going to talk about how you're going to pay the rent next month, because I'm not a bank. I'm not an ATM machine. And we have the same God. Are you a child of God? Yes, I am too. So the same God is going to provide for us. So let's work on it. That makes sense, church? So that's my hope, that we do that. Now, even the people who are in the world, in the marketplace, there is a neuroscience of gratitude. When you are grateful, your body begins to develop all these hormones, dopamine, endorphin, and you are happier. And when you don't, it's the opposite. You have all these stress hormones killing you, and you are angry, and you are grumpy, and not even coffee can fix you. It's important. It's important, you know, to discuss this and be grateful and enjoy your life, because at the end of the day, everything you own will stay here. And my hope is that you spend more time spending time with people that you love. Just having gratitude. So this is the call to action. It's a call to generosity, okay? So it's a simple call. Now, when you watch this, I hope, when you see this, I hope that you see what I see. So here is the picture of St. John building, okay? So when you drive from the road, or you're driving around and you look a panoramic view, you don't see this. But if you start walking close to the building and start looking and paying attention to that, you will notice that our building, our church needs repair. We call this mission costs, not so much as how much we pay to fix the building, it's how much we invest in us so we can be effective doing mission. Now, Louis and the trustees team, they are always working hours and hours and hours. And Louis and the team are always working and see how can we making sure that the building is well kept. You know what? Put your hands together for Louis and the trustees team. So many hours working, 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 nonstop. So my hope is one simple action. When you give to the church this year, 2024, 2025, consider that capital expense are designated giving. Okay? It can only be used for the church, for here, for St. John. It cannot go anywhere. So if you say for building repairs, capital expense, then the finance team have to use it only here, only for St. John, only for the building. So if you help us to do this, now we can repair this, paint, pressure wash the whole building, and invest on keeping the building, you know, up, so that we can be effective to do missions. And you have the steeple. The steeple looks white and beautiful from the distance, but if you go closer and go up, it's not. Okay? So everything is about appearance and appearance and appearance. You have to take a closer look to everything, to this building, to your own life, to your finances. Take a closer look in 2025, and let's take action. So my hope is that the whole church help us to make this place better, so we can continue doing all the programs and all the missions that we do here at St. John. Can you help with that? Okay, the Bible says that God loves the cheerful giver. So if you are going to help, clap and laugh, because we're going to do it now. Do it. Good. Let's close together with this quote. 1, 2, 3. Take a picture of that. Take a picture of that. Take a picture of that. So let's pray. Lord, help us. Help us to cultivate a heart of generosity. We now know that you are God. You own everything. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Help us to shift our mindsets from owners to stewards. Give us the wisdom and the clarity to manage your finances well. Protect our hearts from ambition. Free us from the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.